preach. Amen. Hebrews chapter number 10, verse number 7. I want to draw from one verse this morning. Continue a thought that we've had on the pictures of Christ. The Bible said, Hebrews 10, verse number 7, then said I, lo, I come. In the volume of the book, it is written of me to do thy will, O God. Thank you for standing today. If you'll be turning in your Bible over to the book of Job this morning, chapter 23, Job 23. Last week we spoke on the topic and looked at the foreshadows of Christ exposed. We find so many foreshadows or types of Christ from Genesis to the book of Esther. We looked at how Job, this morning we're going to take a look at not only the foreshadows exposed, but in Christ his feelings expressed. Christ, his feelings expressed. You can find that from the book of Job to the Song of Solomon in the feelings expressed. I want to say, first of all, the Lord Jesus, we see in his feelings that he shared the grief of suffering. The grief of suffering. I'm glad the Lord told me there would be suffering. A lot of boys, you hear them preach in places and they'll say, well, if you love God, pay your tithes, go to church. They promise you health and wealth. But Brother Lee, they've no doubt have looked over the book of Job. For here Christ expresses his feelings. We see that he shares the grief of suffering. Can I tell you, the Lord Jesus suffered in ways that you and I will never know. In the garden, he experienced a great sorrow. He prayed as great drops of blood fell to the ground. There, he was drinking the bitter cup of the sins of this world. When he went to Calvary, he hung and died and he gave up the ghost. Cried, it is finished. Our Lord Jesus knew about suffering. You and I, as a child of God, we will be acquainted with suffering. Here we find in Job chapter 23. Then Job answered and said, even today is my complaint bitter. My stroke is heavier than my groaning. In other words, he said, I'm a hurting so bad I can't get it all out. It's amazing when we wail or we cry or we grieve, it's more in us than we can get it all out. You say, well, Pastor, everything's good here today. I'm glad it is. But take these notes. A man that is born of woman is a few days and full of trouble. So here we see the grief of suffering. In verse number 14, you'll find here the appointments of suffering. Job, by the way, was a man that was none like him in all the East. A righteous man. One that eschewed evil. He ran from evil. And there we find out in this appointment of suffering, for he performeth the thing that is appointed for me. Now, I don't know what is appointed for you. But I can tell you, every person under the sound of my voice today has an appointment. We have an appointment, first of all, for death. There is a boundary you will not pass. They put every life support machine on you, but this Bible says there is a boundary you cannot pass. I don't know where that appointment is, but out yonder someplace, I'm going to face the one that spoke it all into existence. And so certainly we see this grief of suffering. There was an appointment appointed to him. He said, "For he performeth the thing that is appointed for me." And many such things are with him. Now, Pastor, I want to ask you something. In God's pantry of appointments, what does he have appointed for me? I don't know, because the Bible says they're with him. But we do know that he orchestrates these appointments. And certainly, can I tell you, the devil is not handing out these appointments. God is a sovereign God. And Job said, "He knoweth the way that I take. When he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold." Now, here are the appointments of suffering. But in verse 16, there's the administering of suffering. "For God maketh my heart soft, and the Almighty troubleth me." It may not be devil trouble you got today. It may be a sovereign God that's administering His appointment. He said, "By that He's made my heart soft." Boy, can I tell you, God can never use a Christian unless their heart's soft. The reason some of you mom and daddies can be a blessing to these others, where your children has disappointed you and your children have done things that you're wondering about. Now your heart's soft and you can minister to others. I remember when disappointments and sufferings came to us through our children. And now it lets me, Brother Mike, have compassion on others. I'd be careful to say mine won't. I'd be careful. And certainly we see in this grief of suffering, he shared the appointments of suffering. I can tell you another thing in this administering of suffering in verse 16. He said, "For God maketh my heart soft." Now, suffering is not intended to harden you, but to soften you. You show me an old saint of God's been laying around on a bed and suffering. I can show you most of the time, instead of bitter, they've got sweet. And the heart soft. Here the Lord Jesus is sharing his feelings. His feelings are expressed in Job, the grief of suffering. There's the appointments of suffering. There's the administering of suffering in verse 10. Then there is the accomplishments of suffering. "For he knoweth the way that I take." We're not in this by ourselves, thank God. "Because when he hath tried me or examined me, I shall come forth as gold." If we as Christians never experienced any storms or struggles, we never would grow in the grace of the Lord. When that fire's turned up in our life and the impurities are done away with and the things rises to the top that's most important. You see, it's not whether we have a nice vehicle or nice clothes. It's the little things that mean a lot to me. I thank God we've got a beautiful place to go to church, but it's the people in it that makes it a beautiful church. A lot of you may not be driving a new car, and you may not be making what your neighbor's making, but look around at the little things, because the fire you've experienced, let's let the good things come to the top. And can I tell you, you ought to look around these little babies walking around you today. That's the things that really matter that we take for granted. Oh, here the Lord Jesus is sharing, no doubt, the thought of this grief of suffering, because there are appointments of suffering. When suffering comes, don't get mad at God. We need it. When sufferings are administered, you know, I got to thinking, we try to do so much here in ministry and in missions, and times it seems like that things just don't meet, and God's math is not our math. But I found out through all those fiery trials and struggles that God gets all of the honor and all of the glory. He said, when He hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. Some of you are being tried in the fire. Some of you are suffering for things. You know, just because you're suffering don't mean you're out of the will of God. I hear a lot of times, well, preacher, they're some of the best people I know, and look how they're suffering. Oh, God's doing something that only that suffering can do. There's two things I wished I could, three things I wished I could do this morning. I've been saved since 1981. That's 30 years. First of all, through the storms and struggles and the sufferings of life, how God has moved on me and He's knocked some edges off me, and I've got a long way to go yet. But, Brother Carl, I wish that I had 32 years of marriage under my belt when I first started out with the love of my life. Boy, how God has softened my heart in marriage and taught me, you know something, fellas? What really matters is a woman that loves you and is pure in heart with God and loves her children and loves you. That's what really matters. And me as some young punk walking around at 20 years old thinking that I knew everything about marriage, you better zip your lips and thank God for who He sent you in your life if she's lining up in this book this morning. I've said some stuff I wish I could take back, Brother Kevin, that's hurt my wife and cut her to the bone. But now I've learned a few things what really is important in life. Number two, I wished I could have raised my grandbabies before I raised my girls. Oh, how I love them babies. I was on the road back here this week, and I yearned to see them babies. I said, you listen to me, young boys. God sent you a preacher down here. You better be listening to him. I was running the road chasing a whirlwind, seeing how many fish I could catch or how much money I could make, and I blinked and my girls was grown. Trials made my heart soft. A lot of preachers say, you become a liberal. You ain't preaching on sin no more. They need to hush. Maybe they've not walked where I've walked. Maybe they're not pastoring who I'm pastoring. I have found to have compassion for people. And thirdly, Brother Lee, I wish I could have started out 25 years ago preaching with what I know this morning. I could have helped a whole lot more people than who I run off. A man can preach right, preach straight, preach strong, and love people and have the right kind of spirit about it. Sufferings make our hearts. How many times when you've laid in the bed, and let's just be honest now, a lot of you throw a stone at one another, they say, but how many nights have you sat there and worried over your young'uns, but it was doing something to your heart? How many times have, and you probably not much as me, you've laid down worried about this ministry and it's doing stuff in your heart that only this suffering can do. The Lord Jesus wrote from Job through the Song of Solomon, and he shared his feelings with his children. Can I tell you, he was a man of like passions as you and I. A man born in the flesh, God-man, had never known sin. Born of a virgin, friend. If your Bible says, young lady, you need to throw that mess in the garbage. Young lady, he suffered for me and you. And a lot of times when we go to suffering a little bit, we say, well, God, it's not worth it. I'm glad he didn't back out and say, Ken Bowman's not worth it. I'm glad he didn't turn his back on you. I'm glad when he had a little sniffle, friend, he didn't lay the towel down and go to the house. He loved us with an everlasting love, and he paid deep sorrow for you and I. Calvary, friend, was Calvary. Something me and you will never have to experience. The weight of the sin of this world on us. He shares his expression of feelings about the grief of suffering. Number two, he shared his feelings about the ground of Satan. In Job chapter number 1 and verse number 6, watch your Bible. Here the Lord Jesus expresses his feelings not only about the grief of suffering, but the ground of Satan. I want to say something right here. Ain't you glad when you suffer and you got somebody with you? Job 1 verse 6. The ground of Satan. Watch this. Now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them. I want to say, first of all, notice the trouble of him. His name is Satan. You know what that means? Adversary. He's not your buddy. He's not your friend. He's the biggest liar in the world. How he's deceived a nation. We're chasing a whirlwind and they'll never chase it. What really matters is God. Boy, how he's trouble. Satan means adversary, opponent. Number two, not only the trouble of him, but in verse 7, look at the tracks of him. The Lord said unto Satan, whence comest thou? And Satan answered the Lord and said, from going to and fro in the earth. Boy, we can see his tracks today. Brother Dwayne, how many babies was killed last year? He's leaving tracks all around this country. Seen yesterday how depraved man's become. You seen in Atlanta, Georgia, the little 7-year-old girl was walking to the playground. 20-year-old man in the complex got her and murdered her, mutilated her, put her in a trash compact, and did his evil things to her. But honey, let me tell you something. We see the tracks of the devil all through this whole world. You see, we never heard of such things in a little town like we belong. But now it don't take you long, friend, to get out and you can see the devil in his tracks walking around every place in this world. He says, where you been? He said, well, I've been walking to and fro in the earth. The trouble of him, the tracks of him. Verse 7, look at the tour of him. He said, I've been in the earth from walking up and down in it. Can I tell you this, friend? The devil don't take Christmas off. The devil don't take Thanksgiving off. He don't take Easter off. He don't take Christmas off. He's a busy devil. And me as a under-shepherd, as a pastor, when I see people and I see how the devil tries to maneuver and manipulate and set us up. Boy, he's a busy devil. He's a wicked devil. How he loves to tell you you're worthless. I can tell you, he's got on my wife time after time and said, you're worthless. You're not a good preacher's wife. You're not a good wife. You're not a good mama. Boy, ain't he a lying devil. He'll tell a man and his church members, they don't need you there no more. You're not appreciated no more. Nobody loves you no more. Honey, you can put the devil back to where he belongs this morning. You're somebody at this place, and you're appreciated by this preacher. His tracks, his tour, he never takes a day. I wondered a while ago when we were singing. If everybody here had got a burden for their children and their families, and I was looking how God has taken and pretty much just filled this wing God's given us, I wonder how many families we could really reach by compassion that the devil's got. But honey, let me tell you something. I just wonder if we really had a burden for people and we were busy as the devil was, how many people we could win to God for the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. Boy, he never takes a day off, does he? I'll leave here today. You know what he'll tell you? And I'm not whining, I'm just preaching. Okay? I'm just preaching. You ask my family how many times I've left this church, sat at a dinner table, and they didn't got to look what's wrong with me. They know what's wrong with me. There's been times I couldn't get a straw down into my guts to eat when I left this place. You say, preacher, I don't know why. You got it made. I know I got it made. I'm a child of God. But I'm fighting a real devil. And he's a discouraging devil. Don't let the devil use you. Don't let the devil use me because he's a busy devil. He never takes a day off. Don't you never think for one second when you're going to be a blessing at the house of God, he's going to send you a box of chocolates Monday. I was up yonder preaching this week, and I tell you, I felt like I fell flat on my face. He told me, he said, you know what? You're not helping nobody. You're not doing it. You need to go back home. That's just the way he is. Anybody that's a blessing, you're going to pay for it. So you better be reminded of that. And so we see here the Lord Jesus sharing us about the ground of Satan. He's trouble, his tracks, his tour. But then look at the truth. I love this. Look at the truth about the devil. Verse 8, you'll find out. And the Lord said to Satan, hast thou considered my servant Job? There's none like him in all the earth, perfect, upright, man feareth God, sheweth thee. Verse 9, then Satan answered the Lord. Can I tell you this? He's got an answer to the Lord. God has the last say-so. And he ain't going no place that God won't let him go. That's amazing to me. You see this? He said, have you considered my servant Job? And then verse 9, he answered, said, doth Job fear God for naught? Hast thou not made a hedge about him and about his house? In other words, he said, I done been over at his house and I can't get in his yard. You ought to raise your hands toward heaven. You may think it's bad where you are this morning, but it ain't near as bad if God hadn't had that hedge up for you. God's been good to us. And we see that he is, his feelings are expressed. There's grief of suffering. There's the ground of Satan. But number three, there's the goodness of the shepherd. In Psalms chapter number 23, I want to say this morning on the goodness of the shepherd. I sure am glad that he expressed his feelings about the shepherd. Psalmist David is an older man now. He's seen a lot of things. He's seen a lot of water come under his bridge. And he says, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. I want to say the Lord loves me. The Lord is. And can I tell you, that's sufficient enough. He loves you and he loves me. Well, a lot of times the devil will tell us, nobody loves you. I can tell you one for sure that loves you today. the goodness of the shepherd. He loves me. Verse 2, He leads me. He maketh me to lie down in green pasture, and He leadeth me beside the still. Don't mean, He doesn't say that He led. He leadeth. In other words, there's an ongoing process. Now watch this. This will help you this morning. I'm closing. You better listen. He don't drive nobody. He leads. And you must learn to follow, to go where He wants you to go and do what He wants you to do. Matter of fact, in the young days, I thought the harder and meaner you preach, the more people want to do right. Now, let me tell you, the more you exalt Christ and show the people how much Jesus loves them, it ought to get us in love with Him and want us to just follow Him any place He goes. He don't drive you, He leads you. Lets me know He's out in front. I don't lead you behind you, I lead you in front of you. A lot of you need to trade places with the Lord today. A lot of you trying to lead Him. Tell Him what to do. Won't you line up and get in line and say, God, I done found out where I can take myself and my family. I'm ready to follow You a while. He'll never lead you to a wrong place. He loves me. He leads me. Boy, look at verse 4. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no, for Thou art with me. He lives with me. He said, Ken Bowman, when death comes, don't you be scared of death. He said, I live with you, son. I live inside of you. And He said, I'm going to walk through the valley of the shadow of death with you. Just the shadows, all it'll be. Just a shadow. He lives with me. And verse 5, Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. He looks about me. You've all got enemies if you love Jesus. But He looks about you. I wonder what He's done for us when we never know what He is doing. Boy, He looks about. And then I want to say this lastly. Verse 6, He's loyal to me. Because it says, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. I'll dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Let me tell you, child of God, let me tell you something right quick. You turn around and look behind you, because right there is mercy and grace. Everywhere you turn around, He's got you past covered. Mercy and grace. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me. Look at here. Till I quit loving Him? No. Till I act up? No. All the days of my... I sure am glad I've had somebody looking about me with some things I've done. I know some of y'all perfect never make mistakes, but I make my share of them. Oh, I'm glad that He is loyal to me. And then He said, His feelings expressed now. The grief of suffering, He shared these feelings, and the ground of Satan and the goodness of the shepherd. But in Proverbs chapter number 1, I won't be long, He shared with us His feelings about the greatness of the Scripture. Boy, these Scriptures are something, aren't they? Look in Proverbs chapter number 1. The Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of... To know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding, to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, and judgment, and equity, to give subtlety to the simple, to the young man knowledge and discretion. A wise man will hear and will increase learning, and a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsels. To understand a proverb and the interpretation of the words of the wise and their dark sayings, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. Greatness of Scripture. Verses 1 and 2, you know what it says? Simply read it. And then, verse 3, He says, receive it. And then you'll notice in number 7, He recommends it. Because it is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. You know, when people run out on a preacher and say he don't know what he's talking about, if he's preaching out of this Bible, the Bible says you're a foolish man. And And then he said, not only the greatness of Scripture, but I want to share my feelings in the gladness of a song. In the Song of Solomon, chapter number 1, the Bible says in verse number 1, the Song of Songs. Let me ask y'all something. Brother Carl, you come this morning. I want you to sing whatever's on your heart to sing as an invitation. He said the Song of Songs. How many songs have been sung? How many sermons has been preached? You know, in this hymn book right here, there's 410 pages, but a lot more songs. Jesus is saying, I want to tell y'all something. There is a Song of Songs, because there's the mention of it. The Song of Songs, which is Solomon's. And then there's the music of it. Look in verse 2. Let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth, for thy love is better than wine. They were singing earlier how the Lord moves and ministers. Isn't that a blessing to have a God that loves us like that? This Song of Songs, it's the mention of it, the music of it. But in chapter 2, verse 1, the last place, look at the main theme of it. I am the rose of Sharon and the lilies of the valleys. We'd never know him as the lily unless we didn't go through the valley. He said, I want to share my feelings with you. He said, when you music, people get up and they lead a song. He said, I want you to be reminded, I'm the theme of everything. And there's nobody loves you like I love you. And he says it is a song of songs when it's all about him. He says, I am the rose of Sharon and the lily of the valley. So many times I have found him in my valley, being just what he said he would be, the lily of the valley, the bride and the morning star. I'm glad we have a Lord that not only exposed his foreshadows, but he's expressed his feelings, shared with them about the grief of his suffering. Aren't you glad that he's suffered for you? Shared with us about the ground of Satan. I'm glad God has the last say-so. And then the greatness of the shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not. I'm glad he's my shepherd today. Brother Carl, you sing. We open